is it Mr. Ecca? Good morning to you.
Good morning. May you please the court, I represent Candice Innes, mother of Donald and Devin. This is an appeal from the Court of Appeals decision affirming the Douglas County Court order accepting Candice Innes' admission as relinquishment of her rights to her younger son, Devin. Candice is the mother of Donald and Devin. The children came within the juvenile court due to Ms. Innes' neglect, which included drug use in 2015. Candice was ordered to do certain things by the court in order to rehabilitate her and reunify her with the children. In fact, Ms. Innes did not comply with the orders of the court. In fact, she did not see both children for 2 years. In the January of 2018, the state filed a petition for termination of parental rights with respect to both children, alleging that Candice Innes did not have contact with both boys approximately 2 years before filing of the termination of parental rights, that Candice Innes did not follow through with services provided to her that brought the case to the juvenile court, and that she subjected the children to aggravating circumstances, including abandonment. On the morning of the TPR, the state made an offer to my client that if she would admit to some counts with respect to Devin, who was 13 at the time, that they would dismiss the petition against Donald, who was 14 at the time. My client accepted the offer, and the court treated her acceptance as a voluntary relinquishment. Your Honor, it is our position that if my client is good for Donald, who was 14 at the time, that she is also a good parent for the minor child, Devin. There is absolutely no reason to offer relinquishment on one child and not the other. Excuse me,
what are the ages of the two children again?
At the time of the filing of the TPR, or on the morning of the TPR, Donald was 14 years old. And Donald's rights were petition against Donald was dismissed, but Devin, who was 13 at the time, was the one that they all made an offer to her that if she would admit to some counts in the termination of parental rights petition, that they will dismiss the petition against Donald. So in other words, the younger child was 13 and the older child, Donald, was 14.
Counsel, the juvenile court had jurisdiction to terminate your client's parental rights, correct?
Yes.
And even though there was use of the word relinquishment at various times during the hearing, there was also use of the terminology about termination of parental rights. Didn't your client understand that her parental rights were being terminated as to Devin?
Your Honor, at the time the offer was made, I made contact with her. That was the morning of the TPR. We were both ready. Both sides were ready to go. Then the offer was made. I called her on the side, talked to her about the offer presented, and she accepted the offer, but 2 hours after the hearing was over, she called me and told me that she didn't have enough time to think through the process, and that she did not that decided to appeal the decision of the
court.
So are you
arguing that there was something inherently coercive about the use of the term relinquishment, or about having it applied to one child and not the other, that somehow defeats the termination that the district, that the juvenile court ordered?
That's our position, Your Honor, that accepting relinquishment with respect to one child and then allowing her to reunify with the other child does not make any sense, in the sense that if she's a good parent to Donald, who is 14 years old, and whom the court, the state was willing for her to reunify with my client, then she should have been also appropriate for the 13-year-old, because they have both similar circumstances.
Now, oh, I'm sorry, Judge.
The termination, or the terminology that was used and has been used in the discussion of plea agreement may not be precisely accurate in the juvenile context, but to the extent that it was an agreement to terminate as to one child, not, and to dismiss termination as to the other, if we were to grant the relief that you request, wouldn't we be taking this back to the written, wouldn't you be back in the position your client was before, the termination for both children would be on the table?
We will be back to the same position, but the good news about it is that my client has done exceptionally well ever since the TPR was filed, and in fact she's residing with the older child, Donald.
And the other question that I have about this is, to the extent that we were to go along with what you're seeking, it in some ways could be described as a case of buyer's remorse, and wouldn't we be opening all of such agreements up to being reopened later if someone changes their mind?
Your Honor, the with respect to relinquishment, Your Honor, I believe both the Nebraska statute and the juvenile code are quite clear on this issue, that clearly that the juvenile court acquires its authority to relieve a parent of his or her authority only after the department has accepted in writing the responsibility for the child, which was not the case in this situation. So
we would agree, perhaps, it's not a relinquishment in the technical sense, but what difference does that really make here?
Your Honor, the difference is that, again, the difference is that we believe that that my client's acceptance, admission, which was treated as a relinquishment, was not pursuant to the Nebraska law, in the sense that her admission was treated as a voluntary relinquishment.
Counsel, is this a case where your client didn't fully appreciate the difference between a relinquishment and a termination, or a case where she simply changed her mind?
I'm sorry?
Is this a case where your client didn't fully understand the difference between relinquishing her rights and having her rights terminated, or instead is it a case where she changed her mind after admitting to the termination?
I believe her position is that she's questioning while she would her rights, relinquishing her rights to the minor child, and then allowing her to reunify with the older child should not have taken effect, and that actually that the court should not have accepted such offer.
Why did she enter into the agreement in the first place if things were going well with her treatment?
I'm sorry?
Why did she enter into the agreement in the first place if things were going well with her rehabilitation? Why did she enter the agreement with the state?
Your Honor, with due respect, I cannot really answer the question, that the offer was presented to her the morning of that the trial, had maybe the offer made prior, a few days before trial, maybe she would not have gone with the offer that was presented to her.
Is your argument ultimately that the state couldn't make that offer?
I believe the reason the state, even though that's not in evidence, the reason the state made an offer, the argument one can make with respect to that is that Donald was 14 at the time. If Donald's rights were to be terminated, they would need Donald's consent before adoption, as opposed to the younger child who was 13 at the time, because if the rights of the Devin, who was 13 at the time, my client's rights with respect to the younger child were terminated, they wouldn't need Devin's consent before adoption. So I believe that was the basis of the offer.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Crystal Clark, good morning to you.
If it pleases the court, my name is Jennifer Crystal Clark. I am here as representative of the Douglas County Attorney's Office on behalf of the state in regards to Donald B. I am the individual who actually did file this motion to terminate parental rights.
You were there at the hearing.
I was there at the hearing, yes.
Yes.
And yes, I was the one that did make that offer. There are several factors that come into play, several issues that come into play in regards to juvenile court.
Before you go down that path, can we begin by agreeing that this was not a relinquishment?
Yes, I would agree that it's not a relinquishment.
That it has to be. It's either a termination of parental rights or it's not valid, right?
Absolutely.
Does the use of the language of relinquishment coupled with the agreement that the state made as part of the plea agreement, I put that in quotes because I don't know that there is such a thing in juvenile court, but putting that aside, coupled with the agreement that it would not be used against her later, does that make this inherently coercive?
I don't believe so, Your Honor.
And why not?
Because this is like a plea deal. This she knew, and it was told to her several times by Judge Brown, that this was going to be an agreement between the county attorney's office and between her in regards to it being a relinquishment. That, in fact, she's making a plea to the motion to terminate parental rights, I believe is the third motion to terminate parental rights, and that enough evidence was provided by the state in regards to that, then that would be taken as a termination.
But I think maybe Justice Castle's question is going to the process, not whether or not there may be circumstances where a parent retains his or her rights with respect to one child but not others, and the possibilities that might make that proper, but rather this casual use interchange of relinquishment and termination, which, do you agree, have different consequences with respect to subsequent children.
The thing is, in regards to a case like this, it's the state's opinion that she understood this was going to be a termination. She knew it was going to be a plea, just like a plea agreement across any of the courts.
A termination with respect to which child?
To just Devin.
Did she admit to the allegations of the petition to terminate?
Yes, she did. And
specific allegations?
Yes, to specific allegations. In fact, Judge Brown went through point by point and said, we're going to take it slow so you understand everything. Do you understand that if I have enough evidence presented to me today that this will be a termination of your parental rights to the minor child, Devin? And that was, and in fact, her attorney even agreed that she understood that the factual basis was enough to, in fact, terminate the parental rights. So it's my contention, and it's the state's contention, that she understood that it was going to be a termination of parental rights. These kinds of offers are something that does happen in juvenile court, at least in Douglas County, quite a bit, in regards to the state, the court, in and of itself, can't take that relinquishment. And there's plenty of evidence to show that they don't do that. It's more of the fact that my agreement to you, parent, is that my office, just my office, the Douglas County Attorney's Office, will not look at that termination that is on the record that you admit to as a termination. We'll look at it as a relinquishment for future children. So there's the fact that...
Is this an understanding?
Yes, and that is something that as an attorney who used to do termination of parental rights, I always make that very clear. It's just my office. I can't speak for the rest of the prosecutors in the state.
Rest of the prosecutors in the state, in view of a termination as opposed to a relinquishment, might look at the books and sort of say, well, the consequences of a termination, is that correct?
Are different than
the consequences of a relinquishment with respect to evaluation of other children.
That is absolutely correct. And in the order, it says that the court makes the finding that this is a termination of parental rights. However, as part of the plea agreement, that between the county attorney's office and the parent, in this instance, Ms. Ines, that this termination is going to be looked upon as a relinquishment.
And did the judge make clear to her that there's a difference between termination and relinquishment?
I believe that there was. I believe Judge Brown made it very clear to her.
That there's a distinction, and nevertheless, we're going to use the words interchangeably at this chat.
Essentially, yes.
Isn't splitting up a family, splitting up the children, inherently in opposition to public policy in this state?
I don't believe it is, because I believe that juvenile court, I believe the statutes, and I believe case law has shown that every case is in the best interest of the child. It's not in the best interest of the siblings. It's not in the best interest of the family.
Hasn't the legislature said keeping children together is in the best interest of, in this case, both children?
I don't believe it was in the best interest in this case for both children. As appellant has stated, the minor child, Donald, was 14 at the time. He didn't want his mom's rights terminated. He wanted to reunify with his mother. He was 14 at the time, and I'm sure the court is aware, if you're 14, you have to consent to either an adoption or a guardianship. So, when I look at a case like this, where I have a child who doesn't want his parents' rights terminated, at least his mom's, his dad had already relinquished, I'm not going to subsequently basically make him an orphan. Because if I proceeded forward and I won my case against his mother and Ms. Ines' parental rights were terminated to both her children, he'd essentially be an orphan. And I don't think that's what public policy should be. I think the fact that we also need to take into consideration what the children want, what the situation is, and what efforts that parent is making in regards to each child. And in regards to Devin, he wanted his mom's rights terminated. Counsel. He was in an adoptive home. They actually were living in separate residences at the time of the filing of the petition. So it wasn't like the reunification with mom was, you know, both these boys were in the same home and they were looking at doing something further in regards to permanency. They were actually in separate homes. And that was because the two boys didn't get along at all.
Yeah, for except for purposes of my question, that I am accepting that the plea colloquy was sufficient to establish a best interest showing for purposes of a plea. But all the rest of the evidence, doesn't all of the rest of the evidence at this hearing show that the differences between the relationship of this parent to each of the children was exactly the same?
To be fair, when I do a situation like this, when I provide a factual basis, I'm not going to make that difference, because I've already agreed to allow for Donald to be taken off of the motion to terminate parental rights.
Look at it from this court's perspective for a minute. When we look at this evidence and it shows no difference, at least that's the initial perception that I'm giving you a chance to rebut if you think you can. There's no difference between the situations of the two children. How do we say it's in the best interest of one child to have termination, but not in the best interests of the other?
Because regardless of the fact that you can look at the evidence that's presented and say, hey, wait, why were both these kids terminated? You also don't have the additional evidence of knowing whether or not there was something else out there in regards to Donald. Again, the hearing was only as to Devin. So to go outside that to say, well, I mean, I wasn't going to present any evidence as regards to Donald.
But we have documentary evidence that covers both children that came in.
Correct.
And are you, point out to me, if you will, is there any significant difference between the children's situation and any of that documentary evidence?
I think there was some case plan and court reports, and in those case plan and court reports from Nebraska Families Collaborative, there was information provided that Devin's therapist did not want visits to start with the mother at that time because she did not feel that Devin was ready, and she did not feel that there was really a relationship there that would be important to start that relationship. However, as it relates to Donald, his therapist actually was in agreement to starting that type of relationship. He felt that Donald was ready to have that contact with his mother again due to the fact that there had been the aggravated circumstances of abandonment for well over 2 years prior to the filing in January of 2018.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Is that it?
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal.
Thank you.
So we will go on then to the next case of the day, which is State versus Talon J. Lee.